Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosro Shahi.
Shaheed Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Kadhimiya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahrudin was.
When we look at the works of late Rawzati, we see.
There is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi, Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. Welcome to another episode of the program The Teacher, an introduction into the thoughts and works of the most outstanding, prominent Shiite scholars and thinkers all across the world. I'm Atta, the host of this program. Within the studio, I have two very special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Home, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi and Shaykh Rouhani. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about one of the main outstanding Shiite fuqaha of the 8th century Hijra. He is mainly known as Shaykh al-Shahid or Shahid al-Awwal, Muhammad ibn Jamaluddin Makki al-Amali. The author of Al-Lumatul Damashqiyah. We'll get to this book, but before that, let's be more familiar with the outstanding scholar from your tongue, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, Shahid Awwal was born in Jabal al-Amil.
Yes.
We have most of our scholars from the Lebanon, basically. And he was also from Lebanon, the place Jabal al-Amil. And obviously he was known as Sheikh al-Ta'ifa. Some of the scholars have named him as Sheikh al-Ta'ifa or, you know, Imam al-Faqih or Sheikh al-Shahid.
Yes.
Because of the martyrdom that he had. He got martyred. So basically he was one of the famous scholars, one of the famous researchers, the Islamic scholars, and the student of Fakhrul Muhaqqiqin.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, when we talk about Shahid Awwal, we know that he was one of the famous scholars, and he was a scholar who had the good knowledge of all the school of thoughts.
Yes.
Of Islam.
Yes.
Where we call them as the Arba'a Madhahib.
Yes.
The four schools.
The schools of thought.
Of Ahl Sunnah.
Ahl Sunnah, that's right.
Because the Shia is different from the Ahl Sunnah. When we talk about the four schools, it's mainly referred to the Sunni school of thought, because Hanafiya, Shafi'iyya, Hanbaliya. So these were known as the four schools. So he was one of the great scholars, and the status that he had, obviously, he had three children who were also the famous personalities. And obviously, because he was one of the great scholars, therefore, we have many other scholars who have talked about him, and they have praised him,
mm-hmm.
especially about his status. Whereas we know that in today's world, and even in the amongst the fuqaha, it was famous that the one who can interpret the book of Shahid Awwal, he does not need to learn the jurisprudence.
Yes.
He is a faqih.
Yes.
Himself, the one who can solve this book.
Mm-hmm.
So basically he was someone who brought a revolution, we can say, in the Islamic jurisprudence. And after him, till today, we can see that in the Hawza, in the Islamic seminary,
yes.
everyone studies his book.
His book, that's right. We'll get to his book and his own explanation on the Lumatul Damashqiyah. But before that, Shaykh Rouhani, give us a picture of the era in which Shahid al-Awwal lived, you know, up to an extent that he was martyred. Let's talk a little bit about this aspect of his life.
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Of course, Shahid Awwal, rahmatullahi alayhi, was one of the great scholars of Tashayyu in the history. But unfortunately, of course, as Shia in the history of Islam, the Shia scholars, the Shia people, were oppressed always by the evil rulers,
yes.
same as their imams. So, of course, this Shahid al-Madhroom was also martyred by a group of people in Sham. Actually, first he was imprisoned by them,
mm-hmm.
and then finally he was martyred by them. And unfortunately, as it is mentioned in the history, even his dead body was burned by them.
What was the main reason, Sheikh Rouhani, for his martyrdom?
So you see that because of being the followers of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi wa salam, being Shia, and in those areas they were non-Shia people, the enemies of the Shia were living, that's why they arrested him, and finally, actually, he was martyred by them. This was the story, which is very, really sad, the story of his shahada, his martyrdom. And of course, I think he was a very much influential figure in the history because he had a contact with the Sarbadaran dynasty or the kings of Sarbadaran in Khorasan. Mm-hmm. They asked him to write a kind of instruction, a jurisprudential instruction for them. So that's why he wrote this Lum'at al-Dimishqiyya for the Salatin and for this Umara of the Shayyu in Khurasan. Yes. But he couldn't go to Khurasan, though he was invited by the last king of Sarbadaran to Khurasan, but he couldn't go there. That's why he wrote this kind of instruction for this group of people in Khurasan. That's why actually he paved the ground for more strengthenness of these kind of Shiite kind of dynasties and hukama or hukuma. So that's why he was also, we can say, a kind of politician or political figure in the history.
That's right.
Because he supported these politicians. While in the in Tashayyu, and also our audience know that there are some scholars who believe that there shouldn't be any kind of hukuma or hakimiyya at the time of Ghaiba. But you see that this Shahid al-Awwal, rahimahullah, supported this.
Yes.
Actually, Sarbadaran. It seems that, of course, he was not of the idea that at the time of Ghaiba, at the time of occultation, we shouldn't have any kind of hukuma or hakimiyya, while the Sarbadaran had their hukuma in Khorasan.
That's right.
By writing this book, by writing this instruction
and
for
the dedication of this book to Sarbadaran.
Yeah, of course. He admitted.
Yes.
He confessed that, this kind of movement in the history of the Shayu is okay, and there's no problem with that, I think.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah. La
ilaha illallah.
Al-Lumat al-Dimashqiyya, Sayyid Muhsin, was written in the 8th century, we can say Hijra, in Arabic language, but still it is today used, we can say, and benefited from in the Islamic seminaries of both Qom, Mashhad, you know, Najaf, Karbala, everywhere, okay? So what is the significance of this book? What is this book exactly?
Well, obviously, this book was, as our dear guest has mentioned, it was written on the request of the Sarbadaran. But it is also said that he wrote this book in 7 days. When it was requested by them, he was imprisoned in Syria. And then there, in 7 days, he wrote this book. Now, the significance of this book is because Shahid was he studied in the Syria. Mm-hmm. He was living in the Syria initially. Yes. And he was amongst the Sunni scholars as well. And the Sunni scholars used to come to his speeches, and he had a good relation with them. He also knew the fiqh or the jurisprudence related to the Ahl Sunnah.
Okay.
Therefore, when he wrote the book, it was a kind of fatwa, like the rulings, direct rulings. And in some portions, he also brought the reasoning why we need to follow this rule. So the both things were there. By looking at the Sunni sources and the Shia sources, obviously, because when he's bringing a reason that why we do this, and the reason why the Ahl Sunnah does this and we do not do this, all these reasonings were there. Therefore, his rulings that he brought, we can say these were exact rulings. These were, we can say, obviously the things that he brought. He had a good view on all the aspects of the things, and then how you know, one ruling was changed from one thing to the other school of thought, how it went. So according to that, when he wrote this, it was a comprehensive book which have 52 chapters, which is more than the chapters which are mentioned in the Wasail al-Shia. Obviously, Wasail al-Shia is, we can say...
Is this again the Hadithi book, Al-Lu'matullah Mashqiya?
It is Hadithi and Qur'ani both, because okay. when he brings the proofs or the reasoning, mm-hmm. there sometimes he mentions the, for example, you know, the verses of the Qur'an. For example, in the chapter of the, you know, we can say... trade, there is a famous verse that we have, Ofu bil uqud, you must fulfill your promises. So on top of that, he used to bring the traditions as well. So it is a combination of all. We cannot say it's merely just the traditions.
But fiqh is the yes. most outstanding, we can say, part of this book. Yes.
Yes, obviously. And fiqh is, you know, in the Quran generally, what happens is, why we go towards the tradition, there is one more difference. We need to clarify this. Because Quran talks about general rules. Mm-hmm. It does not go to the specifications that how you need to do. For example, Quran says that aqimu salat, you need to establish prayer.
Yes.
Now, how to perform the prayer, it is not in the Quran. Mm-hmm. These are the detail things. Yes. The detailed things are not in the Quran. The major and the general rule is there.
Yes.
Therefore, that's why we mention the, like, bring the verse first, and then for the details, we go towards the tradition.
Okay.
How to do this. That's why the books of the jurisprudence, all of them, they have the most portion is related to the traditions because of these details that we needed, right. which were given by the prophets and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam.
That's right. Okay, Shaykh Rouhani, what's your opinion on Al-Lummatul Lamishqiyah? Well, what is this book exactly, Al-Lummatul Lamishqiyah?
I think one of the very important characteristics of this book is this, that Shaheed al-Awwal collected, or actually wrote this book in a way that it is very, what we can say, short, mm-hmm. but at the same time, very much meaningful.
Yes.
And he tried to write, for example, a collection of ahadith or ahkam of Islam in a very short kind of manner. That's important.
Okay.
Because the Salatin and Umara, the people who are so much busy, yeah, they do not yes. have time to read everything in detail or to refer to in the detailed kind of sources. So that's why, because of this, even for Tullab, it later becomes a very much important book because it was very much short, mm-hmm. concise, and precise.
Okay.
So that's why then later many ulamas started to write explanation commentaries on this book. They are voluminous kind of works by the many ulamas and scholars like Shaheed al-Awwal and the rest of the ulama. Yes. On this book. I think one of the very important characteristics of this book is that it is precise and concise. And that is why all of the tulam, ulama, asathid, umara, hukama, and even normal people, all of them made use of this book in the history.
So nowadays, when a talaba, I mean, when an Islamic seminary student wants to read this book, does it need any prerequisite knowledge or preparation before that?
If you refer directly to Al-Lum'a al-Dimashqiyya, yeah? Uh-huh. Of course, you would understand the ahkam of Islam because he wrote in a way that would be understandable for all the people. Okay. But of course, since it is a kind of summarization or uh-huh. it's a kind of short book, that's why we need to the details as well.
Okay.
But if you study only this kind of short, expression of ahkam or fiqh, of course, you got familiar with the main, actually, parts of fiqh. And you would understand the ahkam. That's why it's useful, and it was welcomed and it was embraced by all the students or different people in the history.
That's all right. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani and Sayyid Mohsen, for a nice elaboration regarding the life account of Shaheed al-Awwal and his magnum opus, Al-Lummatul Lamashqiyya. Some of the most outstanding explanations and commentaries written on this book are Tuhfatul Gharawiyya, Tawzih al-Mushkilat, and also the most outstanding one, Al-Rawzatul Bahiyya fi Sharh al-Lum'at al-Damashqiyya by Shaheed al-Sani. We will dedicate one specific program to Shaheed al-Sani and his book Al-Rawzatul Bahiyya, this outstanding. May Allah bless the soul of the late Muhammad ibn Jamal al-Din al-Makki al-Amali, mainly known as Shaheed al-Awwal or Shaykh al-Shaheed. As also Shaykh Rouhani mentioned, Jamadi al-Awwal 9, 786, Shahid al-Awwal was, we can say, executed in Damascus in a temple, and his body was burnt. This shows extreme animosity of his enemies to this outstanding man and a scholar. And Shahid al-Awwal passed away in this way. May Allah bless the soul of this outstanding man, the author of Al-Ummatul Damashqiyah. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. For more information on this outstanding dignitary and other episodes of our program, visit our website at parstoday.ir. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.